Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. I'm speaking today about the shed blood of the innocents and the sanctity of human life, and I want this message to go out over the airwaves and find a home in the hearts of every single person in this nation. The leaders and every single man, woman, and child in this nation needs to get this down in their spirit and understand what the Lord is saying about the blessings and the precious nature, the sacred nature of each and every person that He creates. Every single person that He creates on the face of the earth is made in the image of God and made in His image, and He has a calling and a destiny and a purpose for their life. He created them and formed them. He knew them when they were nothing, and even before they were nothing, He knew them. And so I want to speak this message out, and we can peel back the darkness here in America and expose the darkness and bring the light into the dark places in America and bring that light in such a way that people turn from their wicked ways and seek the Lord. Well, Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." He was speaking to Jesus Christ at that time in the Holy Spirit. And He said, "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And after God had made these things, verse 31, it says, "Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." And so God created man. He created man in His image. He created him male and He created her female. And He said to them after He had created them, "What I have created here is very good." And then He said to them, "Go and replenish the earth, multiply, and have dominion over it." And so God gives us the power to multiply. God gives us the power to reproduce and to create. Not just a copy of ourselves, not just a clone of ourselves, but a new creation by the blessings of the Lord. When He touches that little embryo, when He touches that little sperm and that little egg, He creates a new person on the face of the earth. And at conception, that life begins at conception. And within just a few weeks, there is a heartbeat. Within just a few weeks, there is a shape of a baby, a spinal cord, and a small brain, and hands and feet. And so God creates every single person in the image of Himself, and He gives every single person creative attributes just like He Himself has. And so when a nation or an individual person engages in abortion and destroys that which God has blessed, and which God has ordained, and which God has made in His image, when people destroy that and shed the blood of the innocents, not only does it change the destiny of the future of that individual person and of his parents, but it changes the destiny and the future of the whole nation and ultimately the whole earth. The prophetic destiny of the United States of America is changed with every single baby that is aborted. And so I am burdened down with this message today, beloved, and I know the heart of God. He is burdened by it. I know the heart of God is hurt and is grieving over what he sees going on here in America. Recent revelations in recent months about Planned Parenthood selling off the body parts. It's abhorrent and despicable enough that they are financed by the American taxpayers and they are performing hundreds of thousands of abortions every year at the expense of the American taxpayer and against the wishes of most American taxpayers. And I pray, beloved, if you are in support of this organization, if you are in support of this agenda, and if you are in support of the political parties or the people of political parties who support this agenda, I pray that you would get down on your knees and ask the Lord for truth and wisdom and guidance in this situation, in this circumstance. Ask the Lord to reveal to you His heart. Ask the Lord to reveal to you what His heart for the shed blood of the innocents is. Well, we're going to go on to some other scripture that speaks about the shed blood of the innocents and the value of each and every creation here on this earth. In Genesis 9:6, well, go back to 9:5, the Lord says in His covenant to Noah, He says, "Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning from the hand of every beast. I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man." And so that is where we get the idea that we are our brother's keepers. "From every man's brother, I will require the life of man." And then in verse 6, here is the covenant that He makes with Noah. "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God He made man. But as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply in it." And so He told Noah, "I'm making a covenant with you, and whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed." In other words, when somebody sheds man's blood, the payment must come from man. And so when you think about all the millions and millions and tens of millions of babies that have been aborted here in America in the last 40, 50 years since Roe v. Wade, and the number they say is 60 million. When you think about the number of those babies and all the shed blood that cries out from the land and cries out from the incinerators and cries out from the hospital and the abortion clinics, when you think about all that shed blood and that the payment must come from those who shed the blood, that the payment must come from us, those of us who are responsible for the shed blood of the innocents, the payment must come from us. So you wonder, how in the world are we going to make that payment? How in the world is God going to demand that payment? And how are we going to give that payment or make that payment when that demand is made for the payment of the shed blood of the innocents? Well, Numbers 35:33, the Lord says through Moses, "So you shall not pollute the land where you are, for blood defiles the land, and no atonement can be made for the land for the blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of him who shed it." And so again, He points out that when blood is shed on the land, when the blood of the innocents is spilled on the land, then the payment and the atonement for that blood, the atonement for that life, can only be made and paid for by those who shed the blood. And Numbers 35:34, "Therefore do not defile the land which you inhabit, in the midst of which I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel." And so God dwells here in this land. He dwells here in America through the Holy Spirit. He dwells in the people that He calls His, the people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And in a way, He dwells in the Spirit of every single person, because every person is created in the image of God. And so God says, when you spill the blood, you pollute the land, when you defile the land, there can be no atonement, there can be no payment, except by those who have spilled the blood. Psalm 139:13 talks about how fearfully and wonderfully each and every person is made in the image of God. How fearfully and wonderfully. So each and every person. Beloved, there's some of you out there, you do not thank the Lord for your life. You do not thank the Lord and praise Him for who you are. For you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and no one else, no one has your calling, no one has your destiny, no one has your purpose, no one has been given the unique attributes and creative talents that you have. Every single person created in the image of God is created uniquely and divinely suited to the purpose that God has for them. Psalm 139, verse 13, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. In other words, his soul knows very well that he is fearfully and wonderfully made, and marvelous are your works, O Lord. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, that is to say, the womb. Verse 16, your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. And so God wrote even before your substance was formed, even before he started to gather you into a little tiny human being, a little person in your mother's womb. He knew you, and your name was written in his book of life. You're not for salvation necessarily, but just that he knew you as his creation, and you were recorded as a created being here on this earth. And he says, your eyes, Lord, knew my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. The Lord knows your days, beloved. You don't need to fear if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You do not need to fear death. You don't need to fear whatever it is God has called you to do. You don't need to shrink back in fear and stumble and stutter and have a spirit of timidity, because God already knows the number of days that you have here on this earth. He has ordained the days for you. He has fashioned the days for you, and he knew them even before there was any of them recorded. Even before you lived your first day, God knew your calling and your place and the number of days that you had here on this earth. Well, verse 17, how precious are your thoughts toward me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. And so God loves you, beloved. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, what circumstance you're in, you may be listening to me in jail right now, or in prison, or in the deep dark pit of despair and discouragement and depression, but I want you to know God's thoughts towards you are precious. His thoughts towards you are many. How great is the sum of them? Every single day God looks at you and he said, there is my child made in my image. There is my child, and I have great things in store for him. I have great things in store for her. I have formed that person. I laid out the plans for them. I know the number of their days ahead of them, and I have great plans for them and great thoughts towards them. And beloved, if you will receive that today, that God loves you, no matter how you have been rejected, no matter how you have been cast aside by earthly man or your mother, your father, or other people. Maybe you've been harassed and discriminated against. Maybe you've been called names and cursed. Or maybe you have not had good upbringing or a fair shake in life. I want you to know this. God loves you, and his plan for you is still intact. His words and his thoughts towards you are still intact. And great is the sum of his precious thoughts towards you. Well, as I have spoken before, the prophetic destiny and future of America is closely aligned with Israel. In fact, I believe we are in parallel with God's children Israel here in this nation, because we are a godly nation. We are a chosen nation under God's eyes, and by his tutelage and by his ordination, we are a godly nation. And so our prophetic destiny is closely aligned with his own children Israel. And so we can look back at them and their history and what they went through, and we can see what is coming to America if we do not turn back from our wicked ways. In Psalm 106, verse 36, it says in this rendition, or this story about the children of Israel, they served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons, and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Verse 39, and they were defiled by their own works, and played the harlot by their own deeds. Therefore the wrath of God was kindled against his own people, so that he abhorred his own inheritance. and he gave them into the hand of the Gentiles, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times God delivered them, but they rebelled in their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. And so we see the story of the children of Israel when they came out into the promised land. They had a rebellious spirit, and God laid the elders of them low, all those that were 20 years and older. He laid them low and did not allow them to come into the promised land. And then even after they went into the promised land, they continued to rebel. They continued to worship their idols, and they shed the blood of the innocents. They sacrificed their very own children, and the blood of their children they sacrificed to the idols. God abhorred them. He looked at his own creation, and he was appalled, and he was aghast, and he abhorred his very own creation. And so he allowed the enemies of the children of Israel, he allowed those that hated them to come in and take them captive, and then his own children, his very own children, were oppressed by their enemies, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Jeremiah 19, Jeremiah is speaking to the children of Judah and Israel, and he is speaking to them and trying to get them to turn back to the Lord, and he's speaking the very same message that we saw there in the Psalm, and he says, "Because they have forsaken me and made this an alien place, because they have burned incense in it to other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers nor the kings of Judah have known, and have filled this place with the blood of the innocents. They have also built the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or speak, nor did it ever come into my mind." And so God says these abhorrent practices, these despicable practices that I see happening and taking place here in Israel and in Judah, these abhorrent and disgusting practices, God says, it never even came into my mind. It never occurred to me that these things would happen. I never imagined that these people could do this. And this is coming from a God who is omniscient, who is all-knowing, and God who is all-powerful. And he says, I never imagined that my own children could stoop this low in their iniquity, and I cannot imagine how they can continue to do this, that they were now rebelling against me in such a way that they were taking their very own sons and daughters and sacrificing them to the idols of Baal and the worship of Baal. And so we see the very same thing happening here in America, beloved. We see babies being aborted for the idols of convenience, for the idols of reputation, for the idols of sexual promiscuity, and day after day, thousands, and year after year, tens of thousands, and decade after decade, millions of babies have been sacrificed to these pagan idols, the idols of sexual promiscuity and reputation. This goes on day after day, and this stench goes up and comes into the nostrils of the Lord, and he says, I never even imagined the people in America were created in my image, and we the people can create the government here in America, and we the people have the opportunity to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that in this nation, in this great nation, the most dangerous place for an innocent child, the most dangerous place for the most defenseless of all of us here on this earth, the most dangerous place for that little child is in the womb of its mother. And so we cry out to the Lord for mercy. We cry out to the Lord to give us mercy, and we pray that mercy will triumph over judgment. We cry out to the Lord that the veil will continue to be pulled back and darkness will be revealed. I thank God for those who went into these abortion clinics and videotaped doctors and recorded doctors' despicable statements about how they were selling off these body parts and shopping them around for the most money and the highest bidder. And I thank God for the people who had this idea to expose Planned Parenthood through this way. And I pray for the day when abortion will be outlawed in America, when there will be no more legalized abortion in America. I pray for the day when people will stand up and defend the defenseless. I pray for the day when people will stand up and cry out for those who cannot cry out for themselves. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for those who are going to their phones today and calling their senators, calling their representatives to get laws passed in America to stop these abhorrent, despicable, immoral practices. And I pray that people would be convicted in their heart as they hear this message and as they get down on their knees and cry out to the Lord for his mercy, because God's hand of judgment is ready to fall on this nation. Well, beloved, it makes us ponder and wonder how the payment is going to come, as I spoke before. How is the payment going to come? Will the Lord allow our enemies to come in and oppress us, and we be submitted and subjected to them because we need to be brought low because of our iniquity? I pray that people would get right before the Lord, that they would get active in their political party and call their representative, call their senator, go to the voting booth and vote for people who believe in the sanctity and the precious nature of human life. I pray that that can happen quickly in America, and I pray that you listening to me today are a part of this, and that you too will get active and succeed in what God wants you to do. Well, beloved, once again, as you listen to me today, I'm finishing up my crusades in Africa. I'll be back in the States shortly, and so I ask you to come alongside this ministry. Come before the Lord, not empty-handed, but with a sacrificial offering today. Help us pay for the expenses of the crusades. Help us bring in the harvest. Help us keep these radio broadcasts coming your way, these good messages that inspire and teach you. And so I pray that you pray about your part in partnering with this ministry. If you desire to do that, stay tuned. Listen to the contact information coming up here in just a minute. God bless you. Thank you for listening today. Have a great week, and tune in again next week.